are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the Gladiators hopple, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. That smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
He smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Then steps again. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
Ah, Chris, look, I don't know about you. Are you fired up at all, about anything at all?
How can I not be, Stephen? Leichhardt Oval, saved.
Ah, you're fired up in a good way.
Yes, off the bottom of the table.
I was fired up about DCE this week, but anyway.
So you can be fired up in a negative way.
Yes, you can.
And that gets you nowhere, Stephen. All the wellness consultants will tell you anger, whilst an energy, according to Public Image Limited, gets you nowhere.
I think I need to moderate my emotional sort of state of being, Chris. Some way I'm going
to
look
There's got to be some solution to that. I will have to look. But you can get fired up about success, about hope, about joy.
Yes, you can. Now, you know, be careful what you wish for, Chris, sometimes. Mm. You know that phrase. It's one of those commonly used phrases that just gets reinterpreted and reused all the time.
You mean like wishing for a team who's got no bench during the game, because then there'll be easy pickings?
No, Chris, you've got it all wrong. What's on the field, you play on the field. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter.
13 on 13.
Warren Smith must have reported that at least 100 times during the game, that Manly were depleted and how heroic they were to get through. Enough said.
Stephen, it was one of the greatest victories in the club's history, I think you'll find.
What, the Manly one?
Yes.
Gee, they need to do a bit better than that then.
They've got about 16 on the bench this week with injuries, origin and other problems. So looking good for the Rabbits.
It just says something about their methods, Chris. That's as simple as that, you know. Now, what I want to say is that as you grow up, you know, particularly young boys, but young girls, of course, have mentors, they have heroes, they have people they worship, that they idolise. And often that hope is dashed. You know, you have this dream of being that person, then you find out that later that person was up to no good whatsoever.
Well, I can comment on that, Stephen, because when you were a pop star in the 80s, I used to worship and idolise you.
Did you?
And
did you have enough information?
Once I got to meet you, it was a more balanced picture.
A more balanced, yes, a more regulated picture. So, role models in rugby league. Now, that's a fraught space, isn't it?
It really is, because it's one of those debates that will never be resolved, like what's our national sport. Should sports people be role models, Stephen?
Yes, of course, exactly. And in this particular moment in time where we're coming out to our second state of origin, and we've got some people questioning other people's credibility when it comes to being role models. Hello, Billy Slater. Hello, Nate Miles. And we'll talk about that, I think, in section two today. But this notion that, as famously quoted by Madge, you live in glass houses, you shouldn't throw stones. Now, we tried to look that up. We thought it was absolutely like full-blown bloody the Bible.
It wasn't.
And
you said something about Chaucer?
Chaucer, he picked it up. I don't think he was the first, though.
Did they have glass in Chaucer's day?
They had some stained glass.
Okay.
Did they have rocks? Yes, they had rocks.
my mistake was I thought the expression came from an early 80s Billy Joel album, Glass Houses.
Did you? Yeah. Well, hasn't he had an impact on culture?
I think the, what was the lead? You may be right, you might be crazy, something like that.
It's still rock and roll to me, Chris. Is that one of the greatest lines you've ever heard? Not.
Easy. We didn't start the fire, Stephen. We started fire up.
Oh, dear, the piano man in a little bar. What a myth that is, eh? If only I would, my dream to go to an American bar where there's a guy playing piano in the corner, you know.
So you could take out a piece of cash, a note, and put bread in his jar.
Bread in his jar, right.
And say, man, yeah, right. What are you doing here?
Look, everything's going pear-shaped with the Chinese in town. Talk about role models, right? And I think the PVL has made a pitch to get Beijing involved for the expansion of rugby league. Is that fair to say?
I'm really getting confused because they were going hard on India last night on Four Corners and saying they were in town, but the Chinese are coming through the front door.
Yeah. They're not happy with Alba because apparently Alba doesn't want the Chinese to have a rugby league team. You could see it at that press conference, couldn't you?
But is this the genius of the man? Is that because they're
who,
now
PVL?
Well, they're now, as we'll explore, they're now making noises that maybe the 18th franchise won't be PNG.
Right. Go further north.
Because we're Beijing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was there all along, right in front of our noses.
We were hoping Hong Kong might be the bastion, you know, but no. Now it's going to be Beijing. And God knows what will happen to rugby league after that. No, what I want to get
could
to.
Could they be called the Beijing Bears?
The Beijing Bears. Another bear. How many bears are actually in the running, Chris?
The Pacifica Bears.
Yes.
The PNG Bears.
The North Sydney Bears.
The South Island of New Zealand Bears.
Yeah.
Yes, and the North Sydney Bears as well. And get this, the Newtown Bears, I mean.
The Newtown Bears? How many names have they got?
Wow.
Used to be the Blue Bags, remember?
Jets.
Yeah. So we're talking role models in rugby league. So just be careful, you know, because those role models will come. They'll come asunder.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and if you're in that glass house, just put that rock down.
That
ain't going to work because it's just going to come crashing down, right? So let's just start with, I don't know, how about Taylan May? Because we've all witnessed that beautiful piece of tattoo work he has on his neck.
So he's dealing with some serious domestic violence charges, Stephen. He's been stood down under the no-fault rule. I think, as our producer Mash noted in the preparation for this particular recording, he and his legal team looks like something out of The Sopranos when they arrive for discussions with Penrith.
Yeah.
And the trouble that Penrith got are they're saying they're not wanting to terminate his contract. By the way, you know they're not saying terminate on Sydney trains anymore?
Ah.
Yeah, the journey has ended.
Right,
They're not wanting to terminate him for the current charges.
Not the trainers, we've shred its contract, tore
right.
it up.
We've torn up at the train's contract.
There is no more.
I was on Paul Mac's techno train the other day, Steve. It was a lot of fun.
Original tunes?
80%.
Yeah.
And then we got Sweetness and Light.
Was there craft work?
No, it was all Paul Mac.
All Paul Mac.
But it was 20% previous material,
and then
itchy
written.
And scratchy, Sweetness
on
and
Paul.
Light. It was terrific.
Yeah.
Went to Tooralla and back. But so Penrith are trying to dismiss Taylan May for previous infractions, which in time occurred before they gave him a contract extension. So
they can do that?
Well,
lawyers.
We'll soon find
yes,
out.
Yes, right, okay. So famously, for those that have never seen Taylan May's neck, he's done it in black versus white. So the skin is where the word May.
The letter May, yeah.
Yes. And then the rest of it's all black. So he's got actually like got a skivvy on, really, hasn't he?
And it's very eye-catching. And as we've noted on this show before, thank heavens it's not James Fisher-Harris trying to do this.
Has he got memory problems? What's my name?
Well, you know, I think it was Redfern Padder was on this show and said he was very confused when he saw a photo.
Yes.
Because he goes, why is he tattooed yam on his
yam.
Neck?
Yam! Yeah, yeah. And I believe we discovered that he's got another tattoo on his knee. Well, can you tell us what it is, Chris?
No, well, that actually, because we're looking at role models in rugby league and, first of all, criteria, do they have tattoos or not?
Yes.
But former West Tiger and now current Manly Warringah player.
Oh, another player.
Successful on the weekend at Four Pines Park versus St. George Illawarra. Tommy Talau.
Oh, Tommy Talau's new year.
Riding high in a beautiful relationship with Jessica Sergis from the New South Wales Women's Origins team.
Riding high, Chris.
And Sydney Roosters NRLW. He went through a debilitating knee injury, Stephen, and it was out of the game for 550 days. And in those very, very dark days, because you're basically not welcome at training, you're just stuck in rehab and you're on your own, to give him solace and inspiration, he tattooed on said knee, thug it out.
Sorry, thug it out.
Yes.
I'm just trying to explain those people over a certain age group what a thug is. You know, we all know what a thug is, a heavy-handed individual. But in popular sort of hip-hop culture, is there a version of thug?
I think it's a positive term.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely. I believe it is.
I'm thinking he didn't have like Dalai Lama it out.
No. I mean, I think it's a little bit. Look,
Jesus Christ it out.
No, Tommy Talau, who's Father Willie Talau, great credential Bulldogs player.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a play on hug it out, that phrase
really?
Out. And
really?
But it gave it a little bit of street cred.
Yes, that's right. I just thought it meant man up and just do the best you can.
Yeah.
Thug it out.
Yeah.
No guns.
Just.
No large packets of ice, no, none of that stuff.
Get around and do those knee extensions.
Okay. Now, this is one of the best stories of the week, Chris, and one that I think we're going to work on a little harder, is the Sharks Luke Lewis Cup have a junior competition.
So the Luke Lewis Cup is played between Sharks juniors and Panthers juniors, Stephen.
Yes.
Because get this, Luke Lewis, who our friend Dennis Carnahan works with on ABC Grandstand, won premierships with the Sharks and the Panthers.
Wow.
Hence the Luke Lewis Cup.
Okay. Now,
who says there's no creativity in rugby league, Stephen?
Every day. It's morphing every single day. This we have to modify for language warnings. Correct. This man has a left and a right tattoo on his thigh. Unknown man is photographed, right? We've got seen the photograph. His face is covered up as well,
yep.
Masked.
We'll clip the photo from the Astonisher and put it on our Facebook page.
Now, in the reinterpretation, if I may, on one side it says, eat shit maggot.
Right.
Not its real word.
Right. You can insert homophobic slur if you like.
I think that's left thigh.
Yes.
And on the other one it says, snort lines and Michael Luck. Once again, euphemisms intact. Snort lines and Michael Luck. So you look down at your thigh every single day and you go, snort lines and Michael Luck. That's ambitious, isn't it?
It is different.
I think only Marvin Gaye's achieved that. Every day of his life.
Now, whether this is in some way metaphoric, I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
But everyone looks for motivation in different ways, Stephen. But this young gentleman looks at those two pieces.
Gentleman, you said.
And I use the term in the broadest
advisedly,
sense possible.
Advisedly, yes.
Looks at these two particular concepts and goes, you know what? As a result of this, I'm going to play better rugby league.
Right. Every day.
Amazingly, he's had to cover them up. It would be stood down.
Okay. And he's a bit annoyed that he hasn't got Thug It Out there as well, I'm sure. Another appendage, maybe.
And can we give a huge shout out to the tattoo parlor, which I'm assuming was down at Miranda Fair or something like in the Shire that was prepared to say, mate, your money's good.
I'll take it.
We'll tattoo whatever you like.
So eat shit, euphemism, maggot.
Yes.
Right. We don't want to say the other word.
No.
Right? Snort lines and Michael Luck. Euphemism. Now, amazingly, club
officials. And I don't know which one is used for when you've got the ball and when you don't have the ball.
Yeah.
But I can have a guess.
Yes. They want the club officials want him to cover up or he won't be able to play. Now, in the Herald, it was the Telegraph, I think, of course.
Yes.
Of course,
Telegraph. Yes. Astonishing.
And splashed across the tattoos was this sort of, be warned.
A panel.
Too rude. I'd go beyond that. moronic, offensive.
A, we shouldn't be running the story, covering it, like us.
But we're getting a giggle out of it.
But what I love about The Astonisher is it channels that sort of Daily Mirror channel from the UK sort of naughty English thing when they want to, you know, cover up offending body parts or whatever.
They don't just hatch it out.
They have to add, ooh,
Benny Hill style.
That's right.
Now, if you could open up a very good story, I think, about a young chap that the St. George Illawarra lost, if I may, Chris. We're talking about Tristan Saylor. And he's had an up-and-down sort of career, hasn't he?
He has. He's gone from St. George Illawarra to currently the Brisbane Broncos, where he's backing up Reece Walsh and certainly had a difficult outing, I think, against the South
Sydney.
Has he
done the reverse of his father?
Yes.
Yes.
It's in reverse.
Yes.
And there were some charges that were proven not to be able to... He was found not guilty.
Right,
so
okay. Now, he's got a tattoo as well, hasn't he? Now, tell us about this tattoo, Chris.
Well, we've heard what's going on in Cronulla and we've heard what's going on in Manly Way. He has a tattoo of the King of the Underground author, the late Los Angeles-based Charles Bukowski, Stephen.
Now, that's just completely and utterly stopped me in my tracks. I don't know anybody over 50 that really even has heard of the beat poets and the writers.
Under 50, you might be suggesting.
Sorry. You have to be over 50 at least. You have to be a boomer and a boomer with underground taste at all to know who Charles Bukowski is, let alone like Lawrence Ferlinghetti or Ken Kesey or, you know, on it goes, Allen Ginsberg, et cetera, et cetera.
I see you as a Kerouac guy.
Kerouac. Yes, Neil Cassidy.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Well,
my favourite was Ferlinghetti, I've got to say.
Okay, there you go. So I'm a William S. Burroughs.
There you go.
You know, the...
And talking about Romulus, I think he appears in the latest Fatboy Slim video.
Yes, well, that's right.
Debbie Harry. Andy Warhol.
The Big Lebowski, Jeff Bridges.
Jack Nicholson.
Right.
Jack Nicholson.
John Belushi.
Yeah, John Belushi.
And then for real, Bootsy Collins.
Yes, I know. Bootsy Pitt himself. I would implore others to go and have a look at that video clip pretty quickly. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but so the thing about Tristan is he's not his dad, Stephen, as we know St George.
He just said that by saying Charles Bukowski. He's right. Definitely not Wendell Saylor.
And he goes, I never try to be like him. Yeah. I'm more like mum than dad, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. So you can see Wendell going, mate, Ernest Hemingway, go get yourself wrapped around that year, you know?
Well, he's also quoted that he's a Hunter S. Thompson fan, Stephen, and he's an F. Scott Fitzgerald, and look who
hasn't... That's getting a little bit like middle of the road, isn't it?
What, The Great Gatsby? You don't rate that?
Well, no, I do, but it's not the Beat Underground.
Yeah, but Hunter S. Thompson, I mean, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, it would pretty much be my favourite telly.
Sure. What I'm saying is F. Scott Fitzgerald couldn't touch that stuff when it comes to its, I don't know, breaking boundaries?
He's just wildly rap. This is my favourite Raoul Duke quote from, of course, Fear and Loathing, Stephen. What? No, we can't stop here. This is bat country.
What? No, we can't stop here. This is bat country?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a great scene in the movie with Johnny Depp and Benicio del Toro.
Right.
But Bukowski is his favourite, and Bukowski is favourite... best known for the following lines, Stephen. Yeah. And how about this for a tattoo? Which I don't think he's... I think he's just tattooed...
the name.
Charles Bukowski. Yeah.
Well, what part of his body?
Well, I'm guessing upper leg.
Upper leg,
it's rugby league after all.
That must get a lot of questions, though, during game time. Someone's being tackled and going, gee, Bukowski, you love Bukowski too.
Who did
Me
he?
Too.
No. People go, who did he play for?
Yeah. Who did he play for?
Yeah. No, the quote is, find what you love and let it kill you, Steve.
Right.
Because it's pretty much what rugby league can do.
Absolutely. And it's often interpreted as whatever you love will kill you. You know, like if you're a singer, you'll find you'll get a disease, John Farnham style, you know.
Right.
That's the irony of life, the great sadness, the great tragedy of life, Chris. Whatever you love is going to take you down.
Maybe you and I should both go get that tattooed on us, Steve.
Yes, indeed. Fire up. Whatever your love's going to kill you.
Actually, just fire up on the neck. That'd be perfect.
That'll do. Right. Big bold letters.
You know, I'm a fan of professional wrestling, Stephen, and The Undertaker, one of the iconic characters, tattooed the name of his wife on the neck just where Taylor May has his. Then they divorced.
Did you really have to say that, Chris? We knew that was going to happen.
But the interesting thing is, and I'm sure that Tristan loves his father, but he just goes,
"Yeah, oh yeah, tell us."
Mum and I have the same characteristics. We're very studious. Mum is super smart, and super athletic as well.
Yeah,
I got all these interests outside of footy from Mum. I got her demeanour, very calm, and composed.
So I've got to say, super calm.
Super calm.
Yeah.
And get this, Del, Dad,
not so super,
very out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he loves everything. He's done a commerce degree, an arts degree, and his computer programming. No, Tristan.
That is super degrees, Chris. He's got it all superstar, supersized.
So, you know,
I'll never look at him the same way again.
So, tattooed people, role models, they can be, clearly.
They can be, yeah. He's just rewritten. He just tore it up and threw it out the rule book, didn't he, Chris?
Absolutely.
Now, a Parramatta, is it Kelmer Tuolagi?
Yeah, a former West Tiger and Manly Warringah Seagull.
Yes.
Kelmer Tuolagi, yes.
In trouble.
Well, he is potentially a new villain in rugby league, Stephen.
So could, not a role model.
Could we have this man as a role model? Let's have a listen.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Went too far.
Easy.
Lindsay Collins flipped over there like a pancake. And that is getting the attention of some of Collins' teammates.
He lifts him up, takes him to the ground with moderate force. There's a risk of injury. So on report in the bin.
It really is more good luck than good management that Collins wasn't hurt. James. So Tuolagi puts Parramatta in a bit of a hole.
James. Chris, I've always wanted to do that to Lindsay Collins. And I mean, look at that head. That head deserves to be shoveled into the dirt, doesn't it? If I could, of course, I'm not. I'm 9 stone, you know, our language.
Well, it's physics, Stephen. I mean,
he's
Kelman's
a big
not,
boy.
Kelman's not the biggest character.
And he does like, who is it, not, you know, Herman Munster?
That's right.
Is it Fred Gwynne?
Yes, it
was. Looks like Fred Gwynne, doesn't he?
And they're wags down at the Roosters training, Stephen.
Yeah.
At Allianz Cafe this week, you can go in and you'll go, I'll have the Lindsay Collins with maple syrup and strawberry, please.
Like a pancake.
Pancakes.
Yeah.
But Chris Butler there said that he was dropped, Lindsay, with moderate force. And so Tuolagi, with the early guilty plea this evening, facing a 4-week ban. And if it's proved to be guilty and he challenges it, five. He's challenging it. So he thinks he's a role model, but I'm not
sure
what
for. And super smart.
Yeah. And if you want to go how super smart Kelmer is,
listen to
this little bit of deceit that occurred later in the game.
Great.
And now, Tuolagi sold that well, and he may well have been hit hard there. That's a penalty. His head certainly went back there as Manu collared him. Big penalty too. Gets Parramatta well upfield once they put this into touch.
Well, I'll have to see it on replay, Dan. I wasn't sure whether he did get him hot. This will show us.
Oh, my goodness.
What I thought about the tackle, I was right about it. Hey, can we go back and can we take that off them now?
Look, as the great poet Michael Hutchins once said, sometimes you kick, sometimes you get kicked. And it's a violent sport, so you're going to cop it and you're going to give it.
So I think, on balance, you can still be a role model if charged and found convicted of a spear tackle.
Yes.
But I think if you fake a high shot...
The faking thing's become a big issue.
You can't be a role model in the modern games.
Well, of course, it's now what I call it a tainted chalice, isn't it? Because if you get whacked and it's not your fault, if you pretend it's also not your fault and you haven't been whacked, you still get sent off.
Hello, Kyle Flanagan.
Yeah, hello, Kyle Flanagan.
So didn't DCE just gave him a bit of a serve as he left the field?
Whereas I've got no emotional regulator, you know that. I would have got up and given him a bit of a serve back.
That's right.
Who do you think you are? Oh, I know, you think you're winning, do you? Oh, that's right, you are. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Look at the scoreboard, I just did. Oh, just I'll keep walking.
Yeah. Now, you were mentioning, speaking of the Eagles, senior Parramatta players, including Mitch Moses, Sean Lane and King Guther. King Guther, he did not have a good day. He lost, didn't he?
Yeah. I actually don't know what his name is. Right. I just know him as King Guther.
Is he still the king?
Yeah, well... He's potentially having to abdicate right now with Parramatta languishing
and
near the
bottom.
And
did you not see Michael Jackson play there at that same venue?
1987, two nights in a row.
He was a king too.
He was.
King of pop.
Yeah.
So can Gutho moonwalk? We don't know.
Well, he can swivel his hips.
Okay.
Though we don't see that as much as he's become... You know, that's one of the things that happens, Stephen, when you're young and pretty, if I can use that word, like a Reece Walsh or a Joseph Swalehi, you have a bit of swagger. But once you become a senior player, you got to get that frippery out of
you.
Got to
drop
game.
The swagger. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're looking at the replacement coach.
Yes.
And I can't believe I'm saying this, but apparently Jason Demetriou is firming in the betting to replace Brad Arthur at Parramatta.
Over Trent Barrett, who's the interim?
T-Baz.
Yeah.
So the senior players have come out in support of Trent Barrett as the long-term coach of the Parramatta Eels.
Yeah. I want to see if Trent Barrett then gets the job, if he did, right? And then, of course, you know, what's the – Jason Riles?
Mm.
Ex-Dragon coach is failing. I love that. I love it. Look at Fitzgibbon. I want to see them fail too.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what it is in me. Yeah.
I think it's beyond schadenfreude, Stephen. It's called mean. You're just mean.
Just plain mean, I'm nobody's
bitter,
mentor. I'm not a mentor, Chris, you know that. I'm no role model. what's the hook line in the Fat Boy Sim? I like to drink, I like to smoke, I like to do whatever, yeah?
Yeah, something like that.
Something real, you know, okay. Now, talking about Lane, Sean Lane,
yes.
He says, one of the most important skills you need to develop is emotional regulation.
Mm.
Have you ever heard that phrase?
Never.
The coach whispered, does he use that?
Not with me, he doesn't.
Not with you, he doesn't, know. Does he regulate emotionally? I don't know. Does he sort of oscillate in the air?
Go on, what do you think's going on here?
Well, I think it means a calm demeanor, you know, like Zen style.
Okay.
Post meditation,
even balance.
Not be highs and lows. Not like, say, Ricky Stewart, for example.
Okay, because I do know that Trent Barrett said in his early days when he was associated with the Manly Ringers Seagulls, and that classic thing when a recently retired player is coaching some of his peers, you walk that fine tightrope between being their coach, their mentor, dare I say their role model, and their mate.
Can you have emotional regulation sitting at zero and give a spray?
Wayne Bennett can.
Wayne can.
Yeah. Wayne Bennett can be absolutely dead, Clint Eastwood, Charles Bronson, whatever you like.
Because he's absolutely
tearing one for the team.
And in a sense, they don't know what he's doing because he's pretending most of the time anyway. It's all show.
That's right.
A facade.
Well, you know, I think that, and I know that Sean Lane has suggested that Trent has learned that you can't be too up, too down with the player. You've got to be level.
Yeah.
That he's actually maybe got hold of what Wayne's got.
Right. And I had heard a rumour that Wayne's selling these emotional regulators. Do you know where you can get them?
Well, on the black market, the dark web.
Yeah, how much?
Well, it's about $699, as in
$699.
$600? Yeah.
I thought Bunnings did them cheaper.
Though, if it's Wayne, it might be $666.
Oh, okay, right.
But, yeah, you can get them at Bunnings along with outdoor furniture, which is where Trent got his. And it's like It's a device.
Right. Plugs in.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so you never see Wayne with a tight-fitting T-shirt.
No, you don't.
Because he's got the emotional regulator.
Because you remember his hero, Jack Gibson.
Correct.
Used to wear a big fur coat to hide his, because it was a clunkier model in those days.
That's right.
And he actually had the patent, I think, that Wayne ripped it off.
Well, this is the thing, because Jack was just so taciturn and you're just going to kick where the seagulls are and things like that. And Wayne goes, Jack Gibson, the greatest coach of his era, some would say of any era, I need some of that. So when the Gibson dare I say, effects were being divvied up amongst the rugby league community.
Oh, yes.
Harvey Howard took the jacket.
Yeah.
And Wayne palmed the regulator.
Did I hear that Reece Walsh wants that jacket?
That would work perfectly. With a nice big fedora.
It's available somewhere, I'm sure, for sale.
I understand that the Gibson jacket is going up at Sotheby's. And
right.
And the two main bidders are Reece Walsh and Lee Hadjipatelis.
Right, okay. And not Joey Suali.
Well, Suali, he's on the sidelines, Stephen, so he's going through a bit of a
can't
financial...
Make a bid, right.
That's one of the things you can't bid at an auction when you're suspended.
All right, Chris, I'd like to say next section, it's all gone Latrell Mitchell.
Well, all right.
The whole world.
And is Latrell Mitchell a role model?
Well, let's debate and pull apart, shall we?
I'm a loser, I'm a poet. Yeah, I got some bad habits, and I think you should know it. I'm not a role model. I'm not a role model. I'm not a role model.
Well, I think you got to make sure you don't live in glass houses. I think, Joey plays his style. Unfortunately, he's 6'3", and he probably just needed to bend his back a little bit more, and maybe we would have played on. It was just one of those unfortunate things that happens in games. But, when you go after a player, it's not acceptable in this space. And, glass houses, it's an interesting one, that one.
So when you say glass houses, are you talking about Billy Slater?
I'll let you work that one out, Hoops.
Ah, the old silent trick, right? I'm not saying or thinking anything. What do you think?
It's his version of I'm going to keep my feelings to myself.
Myself, yeah.
By the way, you work that one out, Hoops, going, you've got no chance. Hoops.
There's a certain amount of sort of virtuous sort of self-righteousness happening on both sides, though, isn't there? But maybe one's a response to the other.
It's a sanctimonious battle, Stephen.
It's a battle
between two pious coaches. Yeah. By the way, just on the wires, bad news for you, Stephen. Dimitriou and Checker out of the Parramatta running. It's down to Hannay and Ryles. So there's a 50%
chance.
Hang on.
For Parramatta?
Yeah, it's just coming down the wire.
Ryles?
Yeah, Ryles and Hannay for Parramatta.
Where's Baz go?
Baz. Baz, well, he's gone.
Bloody hell.
The minute that was revealed on this show that he's wearing an emotional regulator.
The very minute.
The Parramatta board says we don't someone who's not passionate. And you can't be passionate when you're wearing an emotional regulator. Because Wayne Bennett and Jack Gibson, whatever else you say about
that's
it,
right.
are not passionate.
No, they're not. They're even keeled. Now, I asked you, Chris, if you go back in time, you look at the career of Jason Ryles and the sort of play he was, you look at Trent Barrett, who do you think comes out on top?
Of Trent and Jason?
Yeah.
Well, at least Trent could catch the ball.
Yeah. Jason, and he's good looking.
That's, well.
Zoolander style.
By the way, he now says that he's a different person because he's 49, not 39.
So he's not vain anymore.
Still looks the same to me. He looks fantastic.
Yeah. So surely he'd be a little bit peeved that Jason Ryles has snuck under his bloody wing.
Whereas Ryles is almost unrecognisable. He certainly doesn't look like Homie the Robot anymore.
No, he does not. No. And I know that, many, I mean, really, he needs probably therapy after all those years with Bellamy. Come on now. What's it done to his personality? What's it done to his family life? I bet he's even keeled now.
By the way, Bunnings stopped selling emotional regulators to Bellamy.
Because of patent infringement.
Well, he kept returning them saying it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Because he's fritzed them. Like one game in the box. And blown up.
Yeah, right.
And they said, mate, you're just Alf. You're off the market.
Ricky just doesn't care about technology.
We'll come to Ricky.
Yeah, that's right. Now, okie dokie. So this is the battle of the coaches and the game plan behind the scenes for State of Origin number three.
Two.
Do we need to talk about the players now, who's in, who's out, or should we just leave that for a little bit?
Look, I think we should have a little bit of a deeper dive on this battle between Madge and Slater. Thank heavens we finally got something to talk about, because Origin one was just too nice, to quote Jake Trbojevic. But there's
What would he know, Chris? Was he even there?
Because the game didn't go his way once it went down to 12.
No, it certainly did not.
But he was good enough in the victory of the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles over St George Illawarra.
Oh, good enough. Good enough.
In fact, the Trbojevic has had a timeout. Even though the NRL has apologised to your team for the Trbojevic obstruction on Kyle Flanagan before he went to the bin for milking.
If I may, just very briefly, I don't want to talk about that game, Chris. You know that. Breaks my heart. My emotional regulator's getting all wonky on me.
Look, Stephen, like Latrell Mitchell, we bleed blue. And I think we should explore this Slater deadpan. Look, I don't want to talk about that. I'm not going to give you my feelings.
Right. Now, there was reference, though, there wasn't there, from Madge about the previous, what used to be known as Billy the Cat.
Yeah.
Well, some of his antics.
And you like him now as Billy the Frown, of course.
Billy the Frown. He's very serious now.
And our good friend Andrew Webster also weighed in on this in his column today in the Sydney Morning Herald, Stephen.
Yes, yes.
And someone I'm not familiar with, Dane Elridge, writing for The Astonisher.
He stuck it to him.
About damn time, sanctimonious Slater exposed in stunning truth bomb.
How many S's?
That's a lot.
A bit of alliteration going on there. Carry on. Yeah. Any more?
Well, so what he's done is, if you actually look at Billy's career.
The truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
10 charges.
Yeah. 10.
Can I walk you through
in
some
the,
of them?
In the cold, hard light of day.
So Justice Wiley, big guy on Reece Walsh.
Yeah.
And if Vossi can use Pretty Boy, I think we can too.
Yes.
Smaller guy,
yeah.
You know, contact with the head, forceful, you're off.
Can I just remind people that when they actually sort of the slow-mo stops post-hit, they're virtually horizontal. He was slipping.
It was
Joe was going over the top.
It was like he's on
It
was like he's on the slip slide that was the hill at Leichhardt Oval on Saturday. So.
And to be fair, Joe didn't know which head to go for. Did he? You're confused.
It's a 50-50.
Two heads.
It's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah,
right?
So...
Okay, so, and, you know, Slater is obviously trying to create this atmosphere of bile
hate,
and invective.
Hate,
that we're thugs, that we're thugging it out.
Of course we are.
Across the 17 players.
So, therefore, what are they?
But, well, this is it. They talk about glass houses and stone throwing, Stephen, a la Billy Joel.
Okay.
Elridge goes on, he kicked blokes in the head, led with the feet in the in-goal, plus shoulder charge and punched on with wafering abandon. And let's go through the charge sheet, Stephen.
Yeah, please,
Booting John Skandalis in 2006.
Wow, that's not right.
I was there, Leichhardt Oval. Yeah. He drew both knees back and put both boots into Skando's...
All sprigs.
Rather attractive
metal
head.
Sprigs.
Yep. Thumping Jason Nightingale in 2008.
Jason Nightingale is one of the nicest people we know.
Yeah, we're hoping to get him on this show.
We are, yeah.
The main thing is, he goes, I just can't talk about the Slater incident. It's too emotional for me.
Is that right?
So if we can cut that deal, he's on.
Yeah, okay.
And who can forget shoulder charging Sasaya Fecky in 2018 prior to the Storms making the grand final? Remember Volandi's... got the clearance with Nick Politis' cooperation for the jet so that Billy could land in Driver Avenue and do the judiciary.
That's right.
And the confection that is the previously owned by News Limited creation, the Melbourne Storms.
Right, the confection.
Somehow got Billy to play in the grand final. But his magnum opus, according to Elridge, was on David Clemmer.
Well, that's sort of fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, he in a match...
The Clemenator puts himself up as a target, doesn't he?
Yeah, and Eldridge suggests, under the usual instructions from the non-emotionally regulated Craig Bellamy, to go for the jugular.
Ah, and he did literally.
The Bulldogs. Slater took the advice quite literally with a spectacular karate kick.
It was an AFL-style sort of thing, wasn't it?
Plunged his stud into Tamer's Clemmer's neck.
Neck.
Like a lawn aerator.
Yeah, trying to draw blood, and
which I think if you go down... If you're T-Baz, because you're looking for a job now, in the same aisle you can find outdoor furniture, a lawn aerator, and an emotional regulator.
But that's a... Well, that's very... I hope they've got staff, Chris.
So, I mean, no one can bring me any evidence that Madge ever did anything wrong on the field, but his henchman, Slater's henchman, we went through this forensically last week, Stephen.
Yes. Check out last week's episode. It's definitely worth it.
Nate Miles.
Now, we know, we talk about Queensland having a big head. He had a huge head, right? And we worry for the kiddies, don't we, Chris? Because kiddies love to collect bobbleheads.
We know
the Ravalawa sold out and he's not even playing anymore.
Sorry, withdrawn from sale.
Withdrawn from
after
sale.
After his four-week suspension. Which he's apologised for.
Can you imagine, let's picture Nate Miles' bobblehead. I mean, traditionally the head's always been fairly big anyway.
That's the idea of the bobblehead,
and then you've got a Queensland, you've got to put two heads on.
Right.
That's
more,
trouble.
More expense.
Yeah. So they decide to stick one head inside the other. Sort of Men in Black style, haven't they?
It's like... Mate Miles' head is a matryoshka doll of a typical Queenslander.
Of another head.
So it's not at two heads side by side.
But the boffins, the
head within a head,
could never make it work, could they, Chris? What happened?
Well, it's pure physics, Stephen.
It's pure physics.
If you make the top of the figurine
too heavy,
too large,
too heavy,
it topples over.
It falls over, yeah. Right, so it's not a bobblehead, it's a topplehead, right?
And and of course, there was a beautiful little bit of verbiage from Miles's. Joseph Swatley headed to the sidelines. He goes, enjoy your Michael Lucking debut.
You're right.
And Webby said that as soon as this received media airtime, a zombie apocalypse of former Blues players who hadn't spoken to Webby in years rose from the dead and fired in text messages of outrage.
Yeah.
And Andrew Webster said, he brought back such memories, Stephen.
Yeah.
In the lead up to the 2013 Origin series, the Blues complained about Miles, and this is such a modern word, weaponising his enormous forehead.
Weaponising his noggin.
That's right, claiming he would headbutt and tackle.
Wow.
In 2012, hooker Robbie Farah had been concussed after feeling the wrath of Miles' massive noggin.
Wow.
And this was after Miles...
Miles' massive noggin.
...had hit Mitchell Pearce late and high in game one. Yeah, yeah. And this was why in the opening match of 2013, Stephen, what did Paul Gallen do?
Yeah.
Having already been had his knee twisted by Miles early in the match,
yeah, yeah.
He punched him.
Right. He just went for the head.
Yeah. And as,
couldn't miss.
As we all agree, ended rugby league,
ended,
as,
yeah,
as Webster said. Webster also brought out about Billy, of course. And this is almost a punctuation on Billy Slater in Origin, yeah. Stephen.
Let's not forget.
It was a series where Mitchell Pearce was yet again playing halfback for the beleaguered Blues. In game two of that series, Slater
beleaguered Mitchell Pearce
lashed out with an elbow that caught Mitchell on the cheek. He was reported on the field, but of course, the match review committee, because we all know Philandy's politis, they're all Queensland fans, decided it was accidental. On Sports Ears, you could hear Slater's comment to the battered Blues halfback, and it captured, according to Webby, everything magnificent about State of Origin.
Yes.
One all, Carmichael Hunt.
Wow, he said that?
Yeah.
Is that now tattooed on his knee?
Yeah, and let's not forget Slater's greatest offence of all, Stephen. The one that really, I thought, potentially ruined a generation of young
kiddies
fans from liking rugby league.
Yes.
Putting his earlobe into the mouth of James Graham.
Poor old James Graham.
And trying to villainise and demonise.
Trying to manipulate him,
And weaponise that guy's jaw.
That's exactly right.
Fire up. Rugby league. And God.
It's all gone Latrell, Chris.
Yes, indeed.
All I do every time I open the paper, everything, it's all Latrell, which would suggest to me that Madge has made a few changes. Do we want to talk about the changes right now?
Well, you want to run through them?
Okay.
Let me run them through, Stephen, and I'll get your reaction.
Okay. Oh, you're going to get my reaction?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dylan Edwards for James Tedesco.
Look, 50-50, but I think Dylan Edwards has had the better form this year. And I think he's a likeable guy. Not sure about the shaved head. Is that enough?
So that's not 50-50 then?
No, that's 49-51. Okay. So I go Dylan Edwards. Why not? You know?
And speaking of
hair. Let's roll the dice.
Speaking of hair, Nicho Hynes replaced by Mitch Moses.
Look, I was one of those people. And I really genuinely like Nicho Hynes as a person, as a style of player. But he was all at sea. Can I say that?
You can.
I was in the crowd going, what are you doing? What is that kick doing? And why are you constantly running up and doing? And I say Benji Marshall, to his credit, used to do the same thing where they just go, I just drop a pass back to a forward and the forward has nowhere to go. It just wasn't opening up any holes at all. He's no Daly Cherry Evans, put it that way.
Speaking of teeth, in a swap of Cameron's, Cameron Murray for Cameron McInnes.
Yeah, McInnes. I just the grit, the resilience, Chris. What do you think?
No, I think Cameron Murray is telegenic.
Yeah.
We're down a little bit with the suspension of Swatalihi.
Yeah.
The attractiveness of players in the team photos attracts new fans to the game, Stephen.
Is there a prettier side?
Look, I'm not saying that Cameron McInnes is unattractive.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he appeals to a particular type of audience.
Okay, let's go through it, of course, because he's missing most of his teeth, right?
That's right.
And why go to the dentist now when you've got another 4 years of contract to go, right?
Correct.
And then he's got about 1,800 scars because every week he gets another 6 stitches, right?
Yeah.
His eyes are always black, you know, bloodshot eyes. I mean, really, he's an amazing sight, isn't he?
People going to Cam, I've got a great plastic surgeon and dental surgeon for you, and he goes, I'll do it all when I retire.
Thanks.
And then people won't have a look at Cooper Cronk's nose. You can never get it fixed afterwards. Same with Blake Ferguson.
Because apparently it's very, very attractive.
What, the bent nose?
Yeah, Cooper Cronk's nose.
Is that right?
From what I've heard.
Who's been telling you that?
Many men have been telling me that.
Is that right? And then on the bench, Hudson Young, who really didn't get on despite the loss of Swahili.
And that great name.
Yes, has been stood down and Connor Watson has come in.
Yes.
But the big
news
is Latrell Mitt
for
Joseph Swahili in the centres.
Right. Well, he's going to cause havoc, isn't he? And he's probably going to get sent off for sure. Don't you think? Can he control himself at all?
Hasn't he put his nose in front of Victor Radley again in the all-time sin binnings because he was dismissed after the little Jordan Ricky incident against Cameron Murray in the Broncos Rabbits
game? You've lost me already, Chris.
You don't watch that much football, do you, Stephen?
I have. So many things competing with football is not funny all the time. So,
like what?
Oh, eating. Reading, you know.
Yeah. Human interaction, you know, contributing to the community. I watch everything.
Mate, beat poetry, if I may.
I thought Beat was a King Crimson album. That's how little I know.
And look, I hate to think that Luttrell would put me in the same box of his enemies. And they are, of course...
The media.
Well, I've got a little list here. It says here, the Roosters.
Yes.
Yes. They hate him.
Despite the two premierships.
Despite...
I hasten to add.
Now, he says media. Now, we're not media.
Well, no, you've got to actually have listeners.
Yeah. So we're not media and we're not social media, are we?
Well, not effectively, no.
Okay. So I don't think he cares about us. So we're good to go.
Yeah.
So the point being is that he reckons that all of the media are just ganging up on him the whole time. So he's got a victim complex. You know, he's going to be crucified one day, you know, that sort of thing.
They had the 2014 Premiership celebration on the weekend, Stephen.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Sunday.
And Madge got together.
Madge was there. Yeah, My friend Duncan Fine got a picture with his arm around Luttrell, so he's not an enemy.
No, he's not. And he's a friend of ours.
Mm.
So we're good to go.
We're good.
We're good to go.
We're on the positive side.
Okie dokie.
We're on the Dylan Edwards side, not the James Tedesco side.
But apparently he cops on social media, and I know that some of them just switch off. They just turn it off, don't they? You know, where's that button, that off button? You know, social media off, you know. What's going to happen to all the 14-year-old kiddies in the future, you know?
Though Luttrell says he should turn it off because he doesn't read the negative comments because he knows, he says, if I've had a shit game, I already know.
Yeah.
But he goes, but if I play well, I do want to read them.
I want to read them too, yeah, yeah. He's got a bit of an emotional development in work, I think. There's progress to be made, Chris.
Stephen, there's progress for all of us.
For all of us. Not just him. We're not picky on him.
We've dissected your personality today. Yeah. It hasn't sounded too good.
Hasn't brushed up shiny, has it? No. Now, all of Queensland hate him.
Well, that is a given.
Yeah, yeah. He's not sure whether he's got the rural vote or the city vote, you know, because he mixes and matches, you know, chin-chins or the farm, you know. Then there's Triple M.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Apparently they don't like him.
No, they should have turned the mic off, still.
Right, okay.
Despite being one of the great stories of recent times.
Yes.
When he finished up and he goes, anyway, I got 100 tries. I don't care that we lost.
Okay. Buzz doesn't like him too much? Or does he?
No, I don't think so.
All right. What about God?
Well, that's interesting. Well, fortunately, the article that I was wanting to reference, Stephen, has dropped off my screen.
Well, I'm going to say here, he goes,
great.
Before game one, he said, you know, he wasn't sure. I wasn't in the right headspace before game one. At the same time, I was probably a bit filthy. I didn't get picked. So he's you know, he's conflicted. To be honest, I was playing God there a little bit. So he's playing with himself as God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you do that. There you go. And then I didn't know what I wanted. I played with fire a little bit. The doubt was there. I was scared about being thrown under the bus again. A lot of sort of metaphors there, I suppose.
A rugby league cliches.
Cliches, yeah,
this,
yeah.
Like all of us, Stephen, Luttrell's a work in progress. And hopefully what happens in Origin 2, because he says that from all the haters and being made the scapegoat, and he refers to being made the scapegoat in 2019 when Freddie dropped him after game one.
Ah, yes.
But he says he bleeds blue, he represents the state. He's only played four games, mind you.
Feels they still got plenty of blood left.
That's right, there's plenty of blood left.
Yeah.
Madge is going to defend him.
Yeah, I got this here. I just feel like I want people to protect me if shit hits the fan.
Mm.
Okay, that's what Madge will do. Okay, good.
And the confusion continues to reign, Stephen.
Yeah.
Because how do you interpret this from Luttrell? Just because you have your family here, don't put that on me. Don't give me your burden. I don't have babysitters here.
He doesn't have babysitters?
Not in Sydney, no.
Au pair?
Yeah. I'd like to take my missus out every night to Chin Chin.
Yeah, but he can't.
No, mainly, A, because he hasn't got a babysitter.
A babysitter, yeah.
And B, he's likely to run into Braith and Asta for a second time.
Exactly.
But my life isn't like that. I've got to travel
but
3 hours.
But all Braith wanted to do was give him advice about babysitters. He's got an agency. He understands how footy players need to get to Chin Chin, you know, or Icebergs or wherever they need to go. You know, just get the babysitter, away you go.
There's a trusted app you can use, Stephen. Trust me.
Oh, it's there. Okay.
I've got to travel 3 hours to go and see my family. And by that, he's referring to Father Matthew, who's running the dairy farm up at Taree.
Oh, yes.
Even though he's moved here with his family. And he goes, people don't understand that. I think I don't understand that.
Right. I don't understand it either. So hang on. His wife's in Sydney.
Mm-hmm. Dad's in Taree.
Oh, Dad's in Taree, 3 hours away. Where are the kids?
I think with him.
Right. Because he has to babysit.
And therefore can't go to Chin Chin.
Can't go to Chin Chin.
How he's going to play Origin, I've got no idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We could recommend better bars and restaurants in Surry Hills, couldn't we?
Oh, there's plenty.
But he's still got to find a babysitter.
Look, I'll give a shout out to Cafe Corduroy, Stephen, in Foster Street.
Yes.
Very, very.
What's the famous Italian that Taylor Swift went to?
Pellegrino's on the corner.
You've
got Nomad opposite, but Cafe de Corduroy is just up the road, and it's run by good people, Con and Cara, Stephen, and it doesn't have pretense.
If we call
Luttrell would be welcome there.
Okay. So if we say on Fire Up Media or social media, Luttrell, we will babysit for you.
Yes.
If you'd like to go to Pellegrino, there's problem solved.
He can do a degustation that takes in Chin Chin's, the Corduroy Cafe, Pellegrino's and Nomad.
Okay.
And we will look after the kids.
What about the new White Horse?
Oh, well, it's a bit of a walk.
Bit of a walk up the top of the hill.
I don't know about that place. I'm a bit, and it looks mysterious to me.
Looks mysterious to me. Okay. Don't like the white horse, laid back style, right?
Yeah.
Well, so if the shit hits the fan, you don't say that.
No.
It's not going to hit the fan. You're going to win. New South Wales is going to win. Enough said.
Enough said.
Okay.
It's time for an expansion team to build up the National Rugby League. But maybe before PNG, we need a West Australian team. The time zone in WA is great for broadcast in the eastern states, and there's no need to start a whole new club. Just bring back a team everybody loves.
Perfect.
Bring the Grizzlies back.
Perfect.
The famous red and black.
Perfect.
To begin anew.
Perfect.
This is what we'll do.
Perfect.
We'll bring back Chief Lo.
Grizzlies aren't the only ones. The Blue Bags want their share of fun. Newtown was also a foundation team, and to come back is the Blue Bags' dream. Three games played at Old Henson and eight games at Perth Rectangular Stadium. Imagine how big the crowds could be. They might get 8,973.
Perfect.
They could fly so high.
Perfect.
They wouldn't be denied.
Perfect.
In that royal blue.
Perfect.
Or should we choose?
Perfect.
Bring the Grizzlies back.
Perfect.
The famous red and black.
Perfect.
It's a marketing dream.
Perfect.
Or maybe could it?
Perfect.
A fully local team.
Perfect.
The West Australian dream.
Perfect.
Like back in 95.
Perfect.
Keeping the dream alive.
Perfect.
Get on the line in your time. I'm always ready to make you smile. Pick up the phone if you're alone.
Three losses in a row at home. What do you need to do to turn around?
I think we're trying to lose it. We're trying to do everything to win it.
Were you surprised by the reaction of the fans at halftime?
Mate, I'm not out there with the fans at halftime.
Is he fibbing, Chris?
I tell you what, he's kind of binary like a computer.
Yeah, is he?
He's either on or off.
Is he passive aggressive at the same time?
I think he's more aggressive than passive.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this about.
I got scared then, Chris.
The poor guy was asking him. Yeah. Obviously, the guy was saying, as you were walking off at halftime, the fans were booing. Not expecting Ricky to be about amongst the people at halftime. That might be a bad idea. But I'll say one thing about Ricky Stewart, Stephen. Yeah. He's not a role model.
He's not a role model, no. I just could see Travis Bickle. You're talking to me?
I finally watched Taxi Driver for the first time a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It was a good film.
Oh, yeah. But Ricky's scary.
Yeah. Could you do, because the conjecture was that Scorsese always intended to do a sequel.
Yeah.
Because it was unclear what Travis's fortunes were at the end of the movie without giving it away. But it was one potential interpretation was he lived on. And Ricky would be about the right age now, I think.
Oh, you're kidding me. To do Robert De Niro.
As Travis Bickle later in life.
Or paying the young girl.
Jodie Foster role.
Jodie Foster's what?
Well, he's got range,
Ricky.
She's 60
or something, you know.
Terrific actor.
Yeah, terrific actor. That's right. We all love her, you know. Wow. And so, Ricky, does he need an emotional regulator?
Again.
And would he even wear one, or would it just be thrown like a bloody cat across the room, you know, or a chair that gets kicked or a door that gets knocked in?
The electricity that surges through Bellamy's body in the box fritzes them.
Yes.
But yes. Ricky would just strip it off and kick it across GIO Stadium, never to work again.
Wow. And three in a row. And did you watch that?
No.
North Queensland, right?
I'd suffered some sort of cardiac incident, Stephen, and I was in the hands of the paramedics, right. And it was the only game I missed.
Well, and that to me is my help. I've got a letter from the doctor about watching the Melbourne games. I just can't do it. Otherwise, I get so angry. I know something's going to go wrong. The ticker's going to go bam.
My understanding, Stephen, and if we're talking broader rugby league, I might very quickly give a promo in a moment, but I believe your doctor's letter says just watch the NRLW and the Women's State of Origin because there's far less wrestling.
Yes, there is.
In that, because is it the Storms per se, or is it the wrestling that they pioneered that absolutely sends your heart rate into dangerous levels?
Both, and any other team that copies them.
Right.
As I picked on your team, West Tigers one game.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
I don't see it. By the way, Stephen, you know how we're sponsoring the Irish Exiles and the Oztag Championships in Coffs Harbour in August at Sex Stadium.
Fantastic.
The update is this Saturday they've got their Queensland team,
yes,
their element, coming down to the men's opens and 21s and joining the Sydney boys.
Where's this happening?
Well, it's somewhere in Sydney. No, St Mary's, actually.
St Mary's,
Penrith.
Rugby League Heartland.
And isn't it great that in an Origin week, a Queensland group of adult men and a New South Wales group of adult men can come together at St Mary's.
And you're saying there'll be no blows?
No, because they've got a trial match with Sri Lanka, so they'll be...
They're going to cop it.
They're going full on okay. Sri Lanka.
Is that fair?
I don't think it is fair. And we're sending our best wishes to Jack, who's dislocated his shoulder at training, Stephen, and is in doubt for August. But we're still planning to go up there at the moment.
Right. Okie dokie. Let's talk about Queensland, shall we?
Let's do that.
Okay. I just opened up my internet while I was talking to you, and there's this at Toowoomba. It's an open day for the fans, and Reece Walsh.
Yes,
you may refer. You know him as Pretty Boy.
Yeah.
We know him as Baryshnikov.
Yeah.
Boy Wonder, superstar,
Bieber,
rockstar,
Nureyev.
Most numbers of anybody clocked in the NRL when it comes to social media.
He's the Timothy Chalamet of rugby league right now.
Well, they call him a rodent face. I don't think you'd call Reece Walsh a rodent face.
Well, it depends what sort of rats you know, Steve.
I think that you think
okay, bad choice.
No, he's more Mick Jagger style.
Well,
right?
how about he's Trent Barrett of his era.
Oh, yeah.
That's not bad.
Not bad, yeah. So Zoolander 3, right?
Eddingshausen.
I think Reece has done them all.
Wow.
Can't touch him.
Is that you are arguing that he is the most handsome
man is.
To ever play rugby league.
When I was a kid, I thought it was Billy Smith. That's what happens when you've got role models, right?
I always thought that Kerry Hemsley was quite fetching.
But Jamie Ainsco, as far as HG and Roy were concerned, the prettiest face in rugby league, right? Was there a prettier sight, they'd say? Can't touch him.
It's a modern world, Stephen, and there are different sensibilities now, but it's great that we can still have a conversation about who's the best looking man in rugby league.
So anyway, Toowoomba have given all their school kids a day off to see Reece enter.
No wonder there's Reece mania if that's the out.
I know, you get a day off school, hello. Probably something to eat as well, you know.
Have you been to Toowoomba, the Garden City?
I have once.
Up on the plane. I think you've got to go over along Darren Lockyer Highway to get there.
Not Russ Hins. is it Ipswich or Toowoomba that Pauline Hanson comes from?
I'm saying Ipswich. And
the fish shop.
You go through Ipswich on your way to Toowoomba.
Right.
And it really is quite a contrast.
And there is one detour, the curve that Russ Hins put past his bottle shop, right? He's got the whole highway diverted just for a bottle shop.
Now, if you're going to ask me where the Kingaroy peanut outlet is with the Bjelke Petersons on that map, I can't help you.
I'm still looking for my Joe for PM sticker, my bumper sticker. I've got one in a box somewhere. What happened with that? Oh, he's dead. That's right.
Well, it really flashed over the horizon like a comment. And it was in the conversation
it
for about
real,
a week.
It was real, wasn't it? That's for a week, now.
Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any better, does it, for Queenslanders. Now, there is a man who I actually have to say, look, I'm pretty fair. I actually liked Penrith over the last few years because I like the way they played their footy.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about, you know, their lack of sort of Melbourne style tactics. You know, mm-hmm. I appreciate their open style. What's it called again? The, you know, the basketball team, the famous basketball team,
Harlem Globetrotters.
Harlem Globetrotters. That sort of style of play. Love that. The Hammer. Never talked about the Hammer. I know the Hammer's great.
You know, he doesn't play for Penrith, right?
I know that. I know. And I know he's fast, but I didn't think he was fast and big.
Yep.
And I saw him the other day being interviewed after the game that they won. That the Hammer won.
Well, you like to call them Redcliffe, I think.
Redcliffe, that's right. Yes, or East Brisbane. You know, extraordinary try it was tit for tat tries. Right?
Yes,
extraordinary. And then he stood next to JT and a whole bunch of them, and he is massive.
Yeah, he's big.
And then
big
I looked him up and realised that he was already earmarked for AFL superstardom, and then the Queensland Reds, and then he joined rugby league. My God,
He is the Carmichael Hunt of this generation of rugby league players, Stephen. And what an exciting joy de vivre he brings to the game.
Is that right?
Yeah. And also, you would have loved the fact that he gave it to the Sharks. Poor old Nico, who's a mess right now. Hadn't missed a kick at Shark Park until that game-tying one on full time.
See, where's Nico's protector?
Yeah, where's his match?
Who's going to look after him?
Well, it can't be Fitzgibbon.
Can't be.
I'm arguing that Fitzgibbon has got the regulator strapped on.
Already.
And he's not connecting. That's the problem.
Battery's flat.
Yeah. It needs a recharge.
Righto.
By the way, one thing about the Dolphins, Stephen, Fox Sports, when a team scores a try, has a unique sound to represent each team. And I was thinking,
is it fair that South Sydney get their bloody glory?
It's not fair.
Is that fair?
No, because that's not a sound.
No.
But then think about it. Yeah. First of all, I mean, what it should be is someone going, Rabbitoh!
Yes.
Because I can't think that rabbits don't make sound.
I got two rabbits in the back and they don't make noises at all.
They don't talk.
They don't talk.
You know, maybe it could be a Bugs Bunny thing. Yeah, what's up, Doc? But
fabrication, Chris.
Right. But so they get, as they always do, South Sydney. Yeah. Should have been kicked out of the comp, preferential treatment.
Okay.
But I, when Hammer went in, said, you know what? This doesn't make sense. Because when the Dolphins score a try, here's what Fox Sports plays.
Yes.
Like a splashing sound, I guess, the Dolphins.
Yes.
And you know what that reminds me of, Stephen? Those poor dolphins in captivity at those shows at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
You know, the Charmin
style. They should talk to the pandas.
You know, the killer whales. This is what the sound for the dolphins should be.
God, wouldn't the kids love that?
Why aren't
wouldn't the kids
mainstream
love that?
Media listening to us?
Yeah, right.
I'd be prepared for the Latrell to dislike us, Stephen, if only mainstream media would listen to us.
Right. Well, the Hammerso, he appeared off the bus, I think it might have been this day today with the fan day.
On the way to Toowoomba.
Yeah, flaunting a mix of high-end and budget fashion. Well, that's the essence of hipness, Chris. You know that.
I'd say that's the essence of Queensland.
Okay, they left the Brisbane Hotel, the W, to go all the way. He stepped out and he was wearing, I tell you what, here, a $3,600 Louis Vuitton Alpha wearable wallet.
Wow.
That's just the wallet over his shirt.
Wow. And he has no cash in it.
No, well, we don't know about that.
No one does these days.
No one's going to touch it.
It's all on your phone.
Exactly. He paired this extravagant accessory with a cheeky display of his bargain Kmart brand Alpha Undies. Well, that's the essence. That is it.
It speaks to the people,
but
it also reminds you I'm not one of you.
Right. And there are many rugby league players who aren't one of us either, too. Not just like rugby league players, but like they're just different, you know. Who is the guy that the Cronulla player that likes it both ways?
Oh, Toby Rudolph.
Toby Rudolph. What would he wear, do you think? Is he fashionable?
Well, Toby Rudolph is the type of guy who'd turn up in a caftan.
Caftan?
Wearing a pair of hard yakka shorts.
I say nothing.
Yeah.
Underneath.
And Blundstones.
Right.
Nothing underneath. By the way, Toby Rover, what he needs to do, and I love the kid, play for the Newtown Jets on his way up. He needs to get a little bit more go forward. The starting props for the Sharks were very disappointing on the weekend.
Very disappointing. Pat Carrigan, meanwhile, turned up in a $70 smiley face T-shirt. Hey?
Well, that's an overt drug reference, Stephen, and I don't like it.
Yes. Now, Reese apparently turned up in, and I'm just trying to find the right branding here.
Oh, Ralph Lauren, surely. Fragrance.
Pricey Gucci slides, of which he then replaced for a pair of Nike P6000 sneakers. Only $160, so that's not too bad. Most sneakers are that much sort of money.
I mean, Crocs did propose to Reese, could we do a tie? And he said, not on my watch.
Yeah, well, that's the essence of modern fashion, isn't it, Chris? Okay, so where do we go from here?
Well, I think where we go, Stephen, is not down to Melbourne for game two, but we'll be here next week to preview the big clash. And also, I'm hoping, Stephen, finally, to just have an update next time for what is the hottest story in rugby league. And it's not the warring, sanctimonious, pious coaches.
Surely it's the Luke Lewis Cup player.
It's not the Luke Lewis Cup
Surely that's
player.
Who we've got to pin down right now.
Expressing two of the most interesting sentiments to get you fired up that I've ever heard.
Me too.
It's the story that was broken by Danny Wyther last night on 100% Footy.
It's got to be good then.
And it was disappointing because Gus was replaced by Joey. And I love Joey, but he's no Gus.
Right.
It's been alleged that a Fox Sports cameraman has attacked.
Or sound person.
Or sound person.
Yes.
A Fox Sports technician.
Technician.
Has, AV person.
Yes.
Has maliciously attacked one of the Parramatta Eels mascots at the game with the Roosters.
Gee, they get into trouble, don't they? Well,
they cannot help
themselves.
They can't
avoid trouble, can they?
Right. Now this could be because flat out he's a Roosters fan, because that's their go, Stephen.
Yes.
And I have a friend of mine, Paul, who I saw at a party on the weekend, who many, many years ago was the Roosters mascot.
Right.
In the days where you sort of strapped on the beak and just a feather duster and you strutted around.
Made a few stupid moves and noises.
Rather than Rocky in that elaborate get-up that Nick Politis now finds.
So they replaced him when they replaced the music into Trap.
many years before
you
then.
Look stupid playing.
That's right.
Looking like that.
Absolutely. And a try was scored wide out, and the referee at the time was Kevin Roberts. And so as the referee does, he stands in the vicinity of the person attempting the conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul in his Roosters mascot outfit went up and started pecking Kevin Roberts.
Wow.
Got a 2-year ban.
Wow. Right. Because don't they have a habit of getting on the drink?
Well,
on the job?
Let's face it. And
I'm not casting any assertions against any particular team.
And I'm not saying that Dennis Carnahan was once of the Bulldogs mascot. So I'm not saying that, Stephen.
Right.
But they're people who are down on their luck a little bit.
Yes, okay.
Right. And it can get to you.
Well, also they're hiding.
Well, they're not. Well, it's like, in wrestling.
They think they're invisible.
It's rugby league's version of lucha wrestling, Stephen. Put on a mask. Put on a mascot.
Get away with murder.
You can do whatever you like.
Whatever you want.
And I think this either got right up the goat of this Fox Sports person.
Yes. And what, the boom mic just came around?
Right up the clacker.
Up the clacker.
Or they had a childhood experience, maybe when they were fishing and they caught an eel and chaos broke out.
What do eels say, Chris? What do eels say?
Well, when you catch an eel and they haven't got the sound a la the dolphin, Flipper.
Come on.
Why is the Dolphins mascot called Flipper? Because it should be.
Yes.
When you catch an eel. And
imagine the crowd singing that song.
And you land it on the wharf.
Yeah.
It makes this sound.
Oh, yuck. Yeah, that's
never got over it.
No.
And I couldn't guarantee that if I walked in the vicinity of an eel's mascot, I wouldn't punch it on the snout.
Okay, and that is the reason why you don't want to share Combank Stadium with Parramatta as the West Tigers, because you couldn't stand to be anywhere near that eel sound and the eel's look?
No, it's just slippery, Stephen. It's a slippery situation.
Okay, one last thing. West Tigers on the weekend, eh?
Yeah, look, it was the win we had to have, Stephen. It comes off the back of Leichhardt Oval being saved.
Yes.
With an unholy alliance of Junior and Blocker and Roy Slaven and not really Richo, who was copied in at the last minute. Albo was there, well, Darcy Byrne.
Richo was out of the loop.
Yeah, Chris Minns. Well, the Tigers were so out of the loop, Stephen.
Yeah.
And this is because it's not our home ground per se. It's a community sports hub.
Right. So you don't own it.
We're barely there.
So 10 million from the council.
10 from
Darcy,
Chris Minns, New South Wales
10
Labor
from
government.
State government.
20 from Albo,
right,
with an eye to the next election.
And it was PVL that brokered the whole deal.
PVL,
as he does, that's his job.
Put it all together. You can be seen lurking in the back in the photos.
Yeah.
Nothing for Shark Park from Morrison, as Buzz Rothfield pointed out by comparison. So this was all cobbled together at the last minute, so much so, and the Tigers are so out of the loop that they had a training scheduled on Leichhardt Oval, Stephen.
Ah.
And Benji and Richo said, well, if you're not going to let us know, we're going to train.
I think, isn't that where I saw John Doyle sort of elbowing the team aside?
That's right.
Out of the way. I've got some press to talk.
That's right.
To, yeah.
And, you know, and yes, they're going to turn the toilets into the heritage block, etc. It's all great.
Okay.
But let's not tamper too much, Stephen, with the innovative spirit of the Tigers faithful that turned up and were able to turn.
Oh, you mean during the win?
The Wayne Pearce
scoreboard
near Hill slash Hill. Into a slip and slide as we...
Now, I noticed that on the telly that all the fans on the hill were turning around to the scoreboard and doing something with their fingers. What do you call that?
Spirit fingers.
Spirit fingers.
Because they were summoning the fact that we are so heartland, we are so grassroots, we are so authentic that we don't have an electronic scoreboard.
Right.
But they have to physically change the numbers in the Wayne Pearce scoreboard.
Wow.
Slash Hill.
That had a certain sort of Canberra clap to it, didn't it?
It did. And then finished off. If we can repurpose what we saw there, like, as you said, the Canberra Viking clap. If we could have everyone at the same
spirit time, fingers.
Well, spirit fingers and then all slip down.
Oh, the slippery slide.
Yeah, all together as the boys run on.
Right, right.
Premiership.
Because you've got a hill.
We do.
You could use one of those plastic ones from, you know, the pool supplies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Bunnings.
Bunnings.
With the regulators.
Yeah, with the regulators, yeah. Keep your regulators off while you slide because you're going to damage them. A bit of water coming down. But he just did in the mud.
Yeah.
On the ground.
Yeah, well, that's...
Shirt off.
He's a pioneer.
Pioneer. Yeah. And the crowd were loving it, right?
And security. Half-hearted.
Half-hearted. Let him go. This is Tigerland. Yeah. This is Leica. This is the eighth wonder of the world.
And guess where I'm going on Sunday, Stephen?
To the ninth.
Campbelltown Sports Stadium.
God. And I thought you were going to relocate to Rose Hill when that gets redeveloped.
And live with all the emergency workers.
Exactly.
And wellness consultants exactly. And yoga teachers.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
And I can tell you one thing about the Leichhardt faithful, Stephen. Yeah. No emotional regulators on them.
Can I give a shout out?
Please.
Talking about emotional regulators, I relearned to meditate the other day with a seminar with Lane Beachley. And it was very helpful. It was for men only, you know, for men that need to sort of resettle themselves a little bit, you know. But as soon as it came to game day, she was just giving it to me about the DCE and Manly. There was no wellness there at all, I can tell you.
And your mean streak just resurfaced.
Yeah.
We should get her on the show.
Okay. That's fired up for another week. Thank you very much, Chris.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!